You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. In this first segment, oh, man, we talk about so much. We talk about the wedding around the world, the absolutely most beautiful wedding in soccer history, Crashland Wedding, baby. We also talk about, speaking of Crashland, we talk about statues coming down, whether you put a fencing up or not. Plus, we talk about whether there's potentially going to be a strike or not.
Okay, and then in the second segment, we're going to be joined by DJ Divinity, a master freestyler. You've seen him. You've definitely seen him on Instagram flexing his abs and doing some incredible tricks as well. But he's in studio. We're talking to him about how he got into freestyling, and he also does some tricks for us. So we have a great time. So all this and more today on the
Cooligans! My light troops. Back again, about my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Yeah, baby!
Whoa, look at this. A nice yeah, baby, all the way from the West Coast. Hello, Alexis, how are you doing?
You know how we doing out here. I joined the gang, but it's Arsenal, so it's not really.
Okay, yeah, and I love you said yeah. You know how we're doing. Who you with? Who you with right now?
Yo, I am. There's a little puppy that I just woke up running around here.
Yeah, the screen.
I've never taken care of a dog before. I am freaking out.
Yeah, screaming tends to wake up animals. It's a common thing.
Yeah, so, ran away from me. Doesn't love me.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I FaceTimed.
Go for it.
I FaceTimed with my wife like maybe 45 times the first day. I'm like, what's this mean? Why is the dog barking? What's the where do I press for it to pee? Where do I press for it to poop? It's freaking me out, man.
Well, again, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco. That is
yeah. I'm Alexis Guerreros,
okay,
baby.
Okay, cool. All right. We are the Cooligans, all right? We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen on television. And it's not only that. It is what, Alexis?
It's also the gulliest.
That's right. Okay, look at that. You can all the sprats are coming from LA, which is all.
I can hear the sprats. It's all, the dog is like the sprats are coming from inside the house.
So yeah, we're excited to be here to be back. We had a nice holiday break here at Fubo, Fubo Sports. So Alexis, how did you? Well, we sort of know how you are enjoying your break because you've been in LA for about like 3 weeks already, right?
It feels like I've been here for 7 years. I am quite exhausted. The weather doesn't change. Why does anybody live here?
Some people enjoy that weather. I don't know why you're that skeptical about it.
They're soft. Okay. I've also done, I think I've done about 15, maybe 16 LAFC podcasts since I've been here.
How about Galaxy? Get on some Galaxy shows. Is that possible?
There's one. I'm going to do one at the end of this week. I'm going to do Corner of the Galaxy, which is going to be dope.
Oh, okay. That's
but
great.
Only one LA Galaxy podcast reached out to me. Everyone else is like, I do an LAFC podcast. It's out of my kitchen. You want to do it? I'm like, all right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you did Shoulder to Shoulder, right?
Shoulder to Shoulder. I've done Defender of the Bank. Okay. I'm doing FCFC later today, actually. I also did Urban Pitch podcast. Let's see. There's like two more that I'm forgetting that aren't soccer related. I'm just all over the place. You can hand me a microphone in this city. I'm talking into it, baby.
Okay. Well, all right. You're spreading the Cooligans gospel, which you love to see. You've been doing a lot of stand up as well. You were at you were at the Comedy Store on New Year's Eve, right?
I was at the Comedy Store on New Year's Eve on stage, like a few minutes just before the ball dropped. And what I liked about it was I do a joke where I explain that I lost 56 pounds and typically the crowd applauds and, you know, you're amazing, you're a hero. And I'm like, stop it, relax. but sometimes some people don't clap. And there was a gentleman who is what you picture when you think of Hollywood, you know, in his early 50s, chiseled jawline, probably was a model for a while, V-neck, tight, muscular guy. Not only didn't clap, he rolled his eyes at me.
Okay. Well, you also described this man very well. That I think you write, like, you know, romantic novels. It feels like erotica.
I mean, let's be honest. I recognized him from the moment I was like, hey, all right, that guy's been working hard, all right? And he deserves an applause. But he rolled his eyes at me. So the last thing that happened, I got off stage at like 11:50. So the last thing that this guy remembers from 2019 is me belittling him for half of my set. I ripped this guy to complete shreds. And I got to be honest, I'm proud of it. You know, I mean, what a way to end 2019.
Just because he didn't acknowledge that you lost some weight, right? And he also does not know who you are. So you really
I don't even acknowledge. Honor it is what I'm asking. Honor it. How dare you roll your eyes
okay.
at me?
Okay. Yeah,
and you
yeah.
know what he did when I was like, you don't clap? He did the real wide, like, condescending clap. And that's when, like, poof, I went beet red. And I was like, oh, my man's getting every bit of smoke. My dude's going to be locks by the end of this because he's getting all the smoke.
It's so fun. It's so weird. It's not because it's not fat shaming, but it's not fat praising. It's something you want something new that I don't think has been invented yet.
Yeah, you know what it is. He wasn't proud enough of me. You know what I mean?
And, okay. Yeah.
So, and that's it.
I will sort out your issues.
I see
with
an
your
older man not be
point.
Proud of me. It brings up a lot. Yeah. Exactly.
So, all right, cool. I'm glad you get it.
I've been yelling at restaurants. They don't know how to make a black and white milkshake out here. Some lady said she never heard of a black and white milkshake. Christian, you don't care about food at all. Have you ever heard of a black and white milkshake?
But I do believe in reintegrating milkshakes because we don't need segregation anymore.
Yeah. I was like, that's rude, lady. You know, what year is this? Oh, does the vanilla milkshake get its own water fountain? Disgusting. I'm not eating in this establishment.
Unreal.
Well, there it is right there. So you're seeing what they think is a black and white milkshake. Which the first time I went there, the lady said, yeah, we can't make it. We'd have to make two milkshakes and mix them, and we're going to charge you for two. And they're $10 each. So I was like, that's not happening.
Well, it looks like just like some black people moved into a milkshake, you know, and it's just a minimal amount that we're allowed. Not enough.
On the bottom, I can actually read I and S. I think it says ISIS. Do you see it right above the N and the E and like the Angeles part? It looks like IS. Dude, I think the ice cream is a terrorist, dude. But I said to the lady, I was like, you don't know how to make a black and white milkshake? She's like, I've never heard of it. And I was like, I'll take her Coke. The food was really good. So my wife comes into town and I showed her the photos of the food. She's like, we gotta go. So we go, new waitress. I said, excuse me. I don't mean to cause an issue, but have you ever heard of a black and white milkshake? And she's like, yeah, of course I have. Who hasn't? And I was like, one of your employees, one of your coworkers. I was like, could I get that? And she's like, well, I don't know if we can make it because our milkshakes are like separate. And I'm like, none of this makes sense. I go, do you have chocolate syrup? Said, yeah. I explained how to make it. And that's what they made me. Now here, then I put all this on the internet. It kind of went a little viral, right? Hold on a second. There's a third phase to this that no one knows. I'm performing at a show called Friendship Buddies. Very good show. It's at a bar called Verdugo Bar here in L.A. I'm sitting there. In the audience is someone that I recognize having worked at this restaurant. Because she has like a very like sort of wild haircut, right?
And you also and belittled like, hey, her, obviously, because you kept the trend like, going.
Yeah, if you don't clap for me, my weight loss lady, you're also going to be locked. You know? So I went up to her at the end of the show and she goes, hey, very funny. I might be making that part up. But I was like, hey, do you work for this restaurant? She goes, yeah. I was like, let me explain the whole what happened with the black and white milkshake. And she's like, yeah, that's crazy. She goes, by the way, all of our milkshakes are based in vanilla. So a chocolate milkshake is what you're asking. It's a vanilla milkshake with chocolate syrup mixed in and mixed. I was like, that's a black and white milkshake. She goes, yeah, if you wanted a black and white, you should just ask for a chocolate milkshake. I was like, none of this makes sense. You're confusing everybody.
I'm also confused. I don't know. It's weird. Most of the time I go into a restaurant, and even if there's something I don't like, I just don't go back there. But no, you make it part of your identity, which is interesting.
Someone told me I'm being a very petty New Yorker on the internet, and I go, yeah, have we met? Are you out of your mind?
Okay.
You think I'm not going back? I'm going back for a fourth time.
Yeah, well, I got to go back. I obviously, you know, make a scene, and then I leave my Yelp review. You know, that's my routine.
In my head, the perfect ending to this is the guy I yelled at in the front row on New Year's Eve is there drinking a Black and White milkshake, and I slapped it out of his hand.
Yeah, you're a hero at the end of this story at all times.
I don't know what happens. I honestly think no one likes me at the end of the story, but somehow I win in my head.
All right, we're going to be back with a little bit more after this, everybody.
Thank you, Cooligans, for this awesome gift. I'm really excited, and it's really cool. Thank you. Bye.
All right, look at that. Welcome back, and welcome back, Oliver. That was so cool. That was Oliver. He is a fan. He's a big fan of Minnesota United. We saw him at our live show that we did in Minnesota with Miguel Ibarra. And Oliver, so just some background, we had a bunch of Messi bobbleheads, and we gave them away on social media. And Oliver and his mom did not win, but I had remembered them from the event. I'm like, hey, we have an extra one. Let me just send one to this kid. He's a great kid. There it is. And he sent us this cool video. Congrats, Oliver. And yeah, thank you for all the support. It's nice to have. Look, we got little baby Cooligans fans.
It's so cool. And also, he has like the OG Messi haircut, like when Messi first came in the league.
I thought that was Messi when I saw the video.
Well, they're the same height.
So hard to tell them apart, to be honest. You know, I think if Oliver,
it's actually funny,
put some gel in his hair,
looks
you can't
like
tell.
More like Messi than the bobble hair does.
So that was really, really cool. So thank you for that. So a couple other things we have. It's a shame because Alexis is not here for his favorite segment in the world.
I'm so angry.
Unboxing.
Ridiculously angry that I cannot be there for an unboxing. How dare you unbox without me?
So here it is. So we got a couple. So we got two packages. One is a card. And this is adorable. This is... from the LaFaves. This is Nick and Danielle, who are speaking of. We have the Screaming Eagles scarf on the tree right here, and they sent this holiday card, and it says, "Much love to you and yours." And it says, "Better late than never. So glad to have had the chance to meet and hang out with you. Two, you're the best. Come visit DC in 2020. You can meet the tiny gully one, and that's Luca. That's the little baby. That's on the card there.
Little baby Luca. The gulliest baby. And remember, they put the Gully AF sticker on the stroller.
On the stroller.
Just to let everybody in DC know.
Yeah, that's right. It also has hydraulics, the stroller. It's pretty intense.
That's right. Baby's hitting switches on them.
So
Luke is like, yo. Who's that baby girl over there?
Okay. Why are babies catcalling? They shouldn't be little. What are they learning? This
is disrespectful, Luca.
So this is another. We got another package. I don't know what it is or who it's from.
My dream is that it's just for me and not for you, and you have to open it.
No, it appears to be a scarf. Who is this scarf from? This is
very nicely wrapped.
Oh,
by the way.
Wait. Okay, I know what this is. This is the Dominican.
I'm so angry I'm not there.
This is the Dominican Republic scarf that was sent to me by I forgot. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's a guy. He works with the Dominican women's national team help support soccer in the Dominican Republic and things like that. So thank you so much for this, man. This is great. What an honor. Thank you
so
much.
That's a beautiful scarf, too.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Yeah, Dominicans make high-quality products. What do you want me to say? Okay.
Yeah. Also, when I think of Dominican Republic, the first thing I think of is, I think my neck's going to be cold.
Okay? This is going to come in real handy in Punta Cana.
Yeah. Could you do me a favor? Is there some type of air conditioning we can turn on so that I can use exactly. the car during the game?
Can you turn on the AC at the beach? You know?
Yeah. Is that possible?
My neck is sweating a little too much with this Dominican Republic scarf.
Although I got to be honest, with how skinny you are, that could be your beach towel. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You just lay down right on that.
All right. Well, speaking of body shaming, you know what? Why can't I be praised for the amount of weight I haven't gained, Alexis? Look out.
Because you put no effort towards that. You've got what I like to call skinny privilege. So
thank you for that. Thank you, Danielle, the LaFave family. We appreciate you guys. And Oliver, everybody. So we usually start the show by showing love to the people who show love to us, and we finally hit 600 reviews on iTunes. We did it, everybody. Thank you.
The quest for 700 begins right now.
Exactly. It's a never end. There's really no number we'll ever be happy with. And it's actually...
Nothing makes me happy.
When you think about it, it's actually a prison that we've really trapped ourselves in.
Yeah. You're a lot like the guy in the front row of the show. No number impressed.
So this is from John. Just speaking of, again, very DC heavy show. John in D.C. goes, Alexis and Christian are one of a kind. They are more than just the funniest and gulliest soccer podcast you will ever listen to. They are the crossroad between sport and culture, weaving food, music, and half a dozen ways to say straw in Spanish into insightful discussions about the world game. They even had an impact on my personal life, teaching me some of the best words with which to celebrate my daughter's birth back in March. Christian was kind enough to read the tweet out during episode 189. The answer to his question, by the way, I said the glorious phrase while holding my daughter right after my wife was moved to the recovery room after delivery. Thanks again for all you do. Fellas, vamos, Gully Squad, love and hugs, John in D.C. So a little background on this. John had, yesterday, he had a baby girl, and when the baby was born, he held the baby and said, "Shouts to us." He told that to his wife,
which is the best version of "shouts to us" so far. You know? Shouts to you guys, and shouts to us.
We're
giving them a phrase to say. Yeah.
Okay, and hopefully it could be a term that is that ubiquitous, can be used everywhere in all these great moments, celebratory moments. So thank you for that, John. We appreciate it.
The first thing a child heard is shouts to us. Isn't that great?
The best.
We got a review from Mega Dave 33, which I shouts to you, Mega Dave. I like that. I like to think this guy walks around with lasers or something. No real title, just put new review. Don't worry about me.
Okay.
Just making a review here. 5 stars. If Alexis and Christian were pumpkin spice, I would want them in my latte.
Whoa.
Okay. Now we see how you get mega. Okay.
Okay. All right. Was this left as a Pornhub comment? Because it feels a little
suggestive. How did they see my Grindr account?
Reading my Tinder bio, I see. Okay.
Pumpkin spice Latino.
So thank you for the support. Look, we have a lot to talk about today, especially. I mean, we have to probably after the break, we'll really get into the wedding heard around the world that unfortunately we couldn't make it to, right? I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't want to be I don't want to appear too bitter on television, but we'll be back in just a moment and we'll talk about the crash and the wedding.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. We just want to give you a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
Us, the Cooligans, and you, the Cooligans, as in Gully Squad. So Gully Squad is your opportunity to be basically be a part of the Cooligan supporters group, right? That's probably the best way to put it. You get to be a part.
Yeah, it's so dope.
Yeah, you get to be a part of some of the, you know, exclusive content that we have. You get to be a part of the exclusive Slack channel where we share deep, dark secrets. And also, we talk a lot about pizza.
We do. I do. There's like a whole section where I get to shred photos of your favorite pizza. It's pretty dope. I absolutely love it. But it's also more than that. It's really the lifeblood of allowing us to do all the things that we get to do. Why we get to travel and get some of the content and interviews that we get for you, the fans, is really because of Gully Squad. They've been absolutely essential this entire time. And we would love for you to be a part of it.
Exactly. So very simple. All you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button right at the top. So and just a reminder for all the new members that join Gully Squad, you will get an official Cooligans pin that you can put on clothing or, on other fabrics, whatever you like. So,
or for you real freaks, you can put it wherever the hell you want.
Okay. You need a new nipple piercing? Well, we got something for you.
We got you.
So, again, soccercooligans.com and click on Join Gully Squad. Welcome back, everyone. We have to talk about it because if you are a fan of this show, a fan of Alexis Guerrero and Christian Polanco, a fan of the Cooligans, you know.
If you're a family member of ours,
okay, you know, as many of you have been, once the engagement between Ali Krieger and Ashton Harris was announced, we made it a life goal. Our sole purpose in life was to make sure that we could be invited to this wedding because everybody wanted to go to this thing. And unfortunately, we didn't make it, but the wedding did happen.
No. Although, if Christian and I can be honest, we had heard some rumors that prior to the wedding becoming a bit more compacted as far as the guest list is concerned, that we were in consideration. So it's almost like we got invited to a trial, but we didn't make the cut. We didn't make the first team. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Okay. We didn't make the 18. Okay. So
I wish they would have sent us, instead of a save the date, sent us like, hey, forget the date. But we get to keep the invitation.
All right, go. You do something else that day because you didn't make it.
Yeah. Get a sandwich. But here's what the invite looks like. I mean, look at them. Everyone in this photo is gorgeous. You're seeing it now on your screen.
Yeah.
Allie and Ashton looked absolutely amazing. We got a chance to hang out with them in Bradenton, Florida, just before. And we wished them, just a happy nuptials and great time. And look at them. They're both practically supermodels. I mean, they're absolutely drop dead beautiful, and the suit and the dress, everything looked amazing.
Yeah,
we got to kind of be there because it was all social media. Like, we were on everyone's Instagram. Just like it's almost like we were there.
When it comes to figuring out a way to stalk this wedding through the internet, I that's exactly what I did. I know everyone who was there. I know everybody who tweeted. I know I was like, I basically went through the Instagrams and social media handles of every person on the guest list, and I know who was there. So, like, the Crystal Dunns of the world, right? The Sydney LaRue, the Dom Dwyers. Megan Rapinoe gave a wonderful speech. Yes, the speech was transcribed, okay? I know that. Because I needed to know that. So we
hacked into the teleprompter, okay?
Okay, we did everything we could. But more than anything, I think we should, when it comes to how soccer can transcend culture, this wedding, it was realistically one of the biggest events that one of the biggest weddings. I mean, people were calling it the royal wedding to some degree. You know, it was from the perspective of what it meant for like the LGBTQ movement and the Ashton Harris and Ali Krieger and a lot of the people who were there are heroes when it comes to that particular movement. And it was difficult to not get emotional seeing how amazing the wedding was, but also because we weren't there, right? Because
I was on Instagram like, oh, okay, Megan Rapinoe got the chicken, okay, next. I was monitoring everything, okay?
And it's hard not to get bitter To some degree, I mean, obviously, all love, and we wish you all the best. But when you saw...
Better only because we wish we could celebrate the day with them.
That's
they
it.
Are...
It's called...
They're just two of the dopest people we've ever met.
It's called jealousy, right? And they were... When I saw some,
yeah,
of the, some of the people who were there, there were people sending us, insider info of other people who posted stuff, and they were like, yo, you saw who got invited? The Cooling Kings didn't get invited, but you saw who got invited? And then there was one that perturbed me a little bit, right? Because I feel like...
Speak on it. No names, Christian.
I feel like we could have taken this spot and done something better with it. But, bruh, Breck Shea was invited. Breck Shea! I mean, I'm sure he's great.
What
I'm
are we doing?
I'm sure he's friends and the whole thing. You got a past and a history. Maybe you played in college together. Maybe. But come on. Breck? Homie,
let's
got...
Let's be honest. Yo, Breck Shea. Let's be honest. He probably wasn't even invited. He just showed up. It's Breck Shea.
Okay. He's
the least likely DP in history.
He's a white man with dreadlocks. You can't do this to us. Okay?
Problematic.
We have to be above white man with dreadlocks. There's no way. I mean...
Just in general. It doesn't matter where. Like, if he's in line at Chipotle, I'm allowed to cut him in line.
That's the rule. Society has agreed upon those rules.
Cut them dreads off, my dude, and you get to keep your spot.
Okay? You want to be a respected member of society? You know what you got to do.
Out here looking like a Viking.
Braveheart looking ass. You fix your... I
know. Fix your... Yeah. They won't take off freedom looking ass.
So a bunch of generally cool moments. Their cake was great. The cake, when you cut into it, it was a rainbow. There was another...
That's beautiful.
A beautiful moment. Sidney LaRue, who officiated the wedding, you know, which, look, we were trying to officiate the wedding. That was like... That was the proposal.
We offered.
Okay.
Oh, they got a national team player who happens to be like their best friend. Okay, all right.
Okay, I see how that works. So whatever. Maybe not the direction...
Hacky. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not the direction we would have went, but I understand.
You know?
But
well, let me tell you this, Allie and Ashlyn, when Christian and I get married, you can officiate.
And I hope you feel bad when you were officiating the wedding.
That's right.
So, but overall, an incredible, experience. I'm sure it was really cool. And it was kind of cool that, you know, Allie Krieger and Ashton put out, there's like a video, I don't know if it's a highlight reel. I mean, it was like a cool thing that they put out their wedding video minutes, I think, after the wedding was over. They were like on top of it. So they got to...
They're editors. Editors got invited to the wedding, and we didn't.
They let everyone kind of experience this moment with them, which I think kind of puts them on this pillar of like of really trying to push these issues for gay people, for women, for women's rights. They're really trying to
it's a human rights issue, and especially with the way the world is right now, it's a beautiful thing that they put this video out and that they were able to share this with everyone. Even if we couldn't be there, it was beautiful and happy. And thanks so much for letting the whole world see it.
Okay. So the big news, finally, New York City Football Club has a coach. It's been long enough.
Yeah, just like that. What was that? Indiana Jones thing? And he slides right under the gate that's coming down.
Okay.
Basically that.
So appointed Ronnie Dela. He formerly managed Celtic, and he took them to two championships. He won the title. He won the league twice with them. But he recently just came from, there's no way I'm going to be able to say the name correctly. a Norwegian club. I'm going to say Vålerenga. Vålerenga. Hopefully that is as close as possible, and I'm not butchering it. I hope Norwegians are not mad at
me. You made it so Latino. You're like, oh, yes, this Norwegian club. Vålerenga.
I'm sure that's how they say it. It's also strange. He's Norwegian, but his name is Ronnie. Like, it just, he's like not really a name you just associate with somebody from Norway. Just Ron.
It's not that Scandinavian sounding. Ronnie Dela. Ronnie Dela sounds like my last Uber driver, who he and I talked about what it's like to be Latino in LA.
So, but big news, and some people are already the negativity. You can't be a New Yorker without and somebody steps in the city and like, hey, what are you doing here? Who? What are you here about? Like,
yeah. you think you're better than me, dog?
And people are already. The two titles that he did win with Celtic apparently were because a big reason was because the Rangers were not in the league at the time. I don't know why. They must have done something wrong that they weren't in the league for two seasons, but that's when he...
You don't remember? They went into administration. So instead of... That's why Celtic fans believe that there is no real old firm, which is the classico when the two of them play. Because they got sent to the fourth division, but it's a different ownership. So they say it's like a whole new club, just to disrespect them even further.
Wow.
But they climbed from the fourth division back to the first, so now they're back together. But yeah, Ronnie won during those years where Celtic were sort of alone. Yeah. I ain't saying that because there are other clubs.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a cakewalk for them.
Well, it's not a breeze, right? It's just like there's no
– Also, what the hell is a cakewalk? Has anyone ever figured out what that means? I thought about that. I'm like, walking with a cake is kind of hard. You don't want to drop it.
It's also kind of – it's like an oxymoron because people who love cakes also don't like to walk. So, hey.
There it is. Wow, were you at front row of a show on New Year's Eve?
Hey, man, I'm in LA. I'm right next to you, buddy. Anyway.
Skinny privilege strikes again.
So, I think this is clearly very important. They had to appoint someone. I think with how long it took for Dela to be appointed, I think they were. That just meant how kind of unexpectedly, how unexpected it was that Domi Torrent left the team, because it took about, I believe, 2 months to get a coach. And this is always the issue in Major League Soccer. Well, as soon as the season is over and you're looking for a coach, you're looking for a coach during the winter break when. Coaches have jobs. They are currently working. They are not available to
the rest of the world.
They're not. They're working. They can't just go on an interview on a very high profile public interview. So, I'm
right. It's like trying to hire someone during them leading a conference call. No. Come here.
so he was the last manager that was the last vacancy. So he was appointed, and then the other one, Inter Miami, got their coach before NYCFC even did, and they got Diego Alonso
El Uruguayo,
who came from Rayados, if I'm not mistaken. So he was
also, I think, what, U17 coach for US at the time. Like,
okay. Yeah, so I don't know too much about him. Yeah, he left Monterrey midseason, but I gotta, because Antonio Mohamed, Turco Mohamed, who took over and ended up winning for with Rayados. But he hasn't made. I don't think Miami has made any public. They haven't done a press conference or anything. I don't think there's anything much has happened. So we don't know too much about him.
It's really just that ad.
Okay.
Just that sort of photo they put up. That's it. That's all they've done.
Sure. They swiped right, but they haven't gone on the date yet.
Right. There's like no proof. It's like when you're like, no, I got a girlfriend, but she's Canadian.
Sure.
You know, you can't meet her. Here's a photo of her. It says Getty Images on it.
Inter Miami can still be getting catfish. We do not know. So I hope for the best.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Diego Alonso. No, I'm Diego Alonzi.
You can understand. Sam Allardyce shows up. Hello, I'm Diego.
Hey, are you judging my Hispanic heritage? How dare you?
Yeah. He's drinking mate. They're like, it kind of smells like there's whiskey in that gourd. How dare you?
Degrade and insult my culture.
My great Uruguayan heritage.
So,
is that the flag? Am I pointing at the flag? Someone tell me if I'm pointing at the correct flag.
There's a lot to look forward to because, especially with NYCFC, they have their preseason is starting in, I believe, like less than 2 weeks. They have a Champions League game in a little over a month. So old Ronnie got to get familiarized very quickly. So it's not going to be an easy transition.
A lot of work. But I think if you are a fan of the press, it looks like that's his preferred system. So kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you know, it's a fun brand of soccer.
I watched his first interview. He's saying all the right things. I play attacking football, and I just want to get to know the players. And we saw there was a game. He apparently had a wager with the supporters that if he won a particular game against someone or I forgot who it was against, but that he would strip and do push-ups naked in front of all the support. Oh, he was in his underwear, but he did do this. So the dude is clearly.
But I think it was if he avoided. Yeah, if he saved Valarenga
yeah.
From relegation or relegación, as they say in Norway, he would do that. He would do push-ups naked, but he did it in like Speedos, basically.
Yeah, clearly the dude's gully as hell. Crazy? No, he has he has no interest in being politically correct or whatever. The dude seems wild. So perfect for New York City. So. The more news with Zlatan. Zlatan, we thought we were done with him in 2019 after he left Major League Soccer, but no.
It's like a weekly Zlatan update. Welcome to the Zlatan.
We need a graphic, you know, like some Zlatan segment that so people can kind of you know emotionally
like
adjust.
Where in the world is Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
All right, is that? I hope that's not some copyright infringement. Man, I don't know. Who knows? Fubo, that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, you figure it out. Also, I'm going to wrap all of Eminem's catalog real quick.
So, but no, we have been talking about the statue that is outside of his former Malmo's, his former team, outside of the stadium.
I believe you mean the former statue. Yeah. Right now it's just a couple feet.
Because if we go back and do a kind of a recap from when we first started talking about it, it went from him, you know, being excited about the introduction to where we are now, where the statue is constantly being vandalized over and over. They've tried.
My favorite part of this statue right now is that the fencing did not work.
They tried their best. No, it did nothing. So it went from a big reveal, and everybody was really excited. Zlatan standing in front of the statue with all his adoring fans, and then as soon as he becomes part owner of the rival club, Hammarby. That's it. The fans were like, we don't want this statue here, and did everything they could to vandalize it, right? They started putting garbage can, like a garbage can on his head and putting, didn't they put like a diaper or something? They everything. They set it on fire.
They lit it on fire.
They did.
Which I think is why it kind of has
and
that
now
like white speckled look.
And they cut off the statue's nose. Now it has no nose.
Which is... I mean, it's worse than that. They cut the statue's nose off, and then they toppled the thing. Cut its ankle.
It's like they're trying to take down a dictator. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
This is absurd.
Yeah, they had like they're pulling it down, like the Saddam Hussein statue.
Yeah. Okay. We don't even do this in our country, and we have literally people who own slaves. All right, and they're more respectful to those statues. It makes no sense.
The statue, remember that weird Michael Jackson statue outside of Fulham?
No.
Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, the owner is like a massive Michael Jackson fan. So he put like a very odd statue of Michael Jackson outside of the Fulham grounds. I hope I'm correct by saying it's Fulham. And the fans just wrote a petition to get rid of it. They didn't like start cutting the nose off of it.
What? I mean, Michael Jackson, of course, any statue of Michael Jackson will be awkward because he was an awkward man. He was a very awkward looking person, right? So this is...
Yeah.
What was
the weirdest part about that statue is no child was allowed within 500 feet of it. So,
hey,
I mean, it's like,
but
you had to go to the other gate.
Everybody's safety.
To get in the game.
That is best for everyone, okay?
Hey, you don't know what that statue's going to do. You know?
Okay, all I know, the statue makes you uncomfortable because it's on his knees all the time. Relax. I don't know what he's up to anyway.
You almost got a spit take. I swear, man, when I walk past that statue of my nephew, they try to give it candy.
Yeah.
They try to give my nephew candy.
They say he's trying to do the Henri slide, but I don't trust it. No, it doesn't.
I don't know.
No, this is wild with What is the resolution for these Malmo fans? They obviously clearly don't want the statue there. They keep putting the statue.
I'll tell you what it is.
What?
It's not what Malmo's going to do, which is put the statue back. They're going to do another statue. Stop with the statue.
I mean, you would think that even Malmo, their front office, would be kind of offended that this statue also kind of represents their rival club as well. What? Like, they might feel a bit deceived by Zlatan from, like, literally 1 month.
I got an idea.
What?
Here's my idea. A Zlatan dartboard. Charge a couple dollars to, like, can people throw darts?
Okay.
At Zlatan, all that money goes to charity.
Almost like a what are those rage rooms, you know, where you just go in and break stuff?
But yeah,
it could be like Zlatan face everywhere, because people have to get this anger out. But also, there has to be some way to show some appreciation for Zlatan, right? He started his career there. Will there ever be any kind of forgiveness? Will there ever be any kind of acknowledgement by soccer supporters? Because it seems like they will not forgive and they will not forget.
No, and nor should they. This is like a massive disrespect to own the biggest rival of the club that you helped sort of propel forward and that put you on the map. How dare you? No. If Derek Jeter, and I've said this before, if Derek Jeter became owner of the Red Sox, there'd be all types of people burning memorabilia, hats, herpes awards, anything they got from Derek Jeter.
Again, this is a very ongoing theme with you. You're like,
I literally said it just to upset you.
But this is you know what you are? You're basically the McCarthy era, you know. But like, instead of like calling people communists, you say they have STDs. This is your move.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I gotta be honest. Made me laugh. So.
Anyway. Yes, but you know what? Derek Jeter owns the Miami Marlins, so...
Yeah, but don't nobody care about that, including people from Miami, including players of the Miami Marlins.
Anyway, okay, we'll be back with more nonsense after this, everybody. All right, so... The I wish there was more positive news when it came, because obviously the last couple
it's
days
good when you start that way.
The last couple days have not been real great for old Trumpy Trump, because he's affecting soccer now. All right, now we raise our concerns.
Not too far.
All the other stuff,
but
we had
the impeachment.
We had no issues with, and we had no problem with whatsoever. But now that soccer's being affected.
Sarcasm.
we have to mention it. No, but recently the U.S. men's national team was about to have their training camp, and they were going to go train in warmer weather in Qatar, which is also raises questions like, why are we training in Qatar? Who knows why? But
you're preparing for the World Cup. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of.
But they The U.S. men's national team had to put out a statement because they were originally scheduled to go there, but they are not going anymore. They were going to train in Doha, and they said, due to the developing situation in the region, U.S. soccer has decided to postpone traveling to Qatar for the men's national team scheduled January training camp. In the meantime, we are working on alternative arrangements in preparation for the match against Costa Rica on February 1st at Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California. And then this was the weird sentence. It says, we are working with Qatar Football Association to find an opportunity in the near future for our team to experience Qatar's world-class facilities and hospitality. And that was like the little bone they threw there to just be like, oh, yeah, we're still cool with you. Please let us.
Everything's cool. Everything's cool.
I know, you know, we're, you know, dealing with, you know, just bombing the region. But like that has nothing to do with you and I. Like, we cool.
Yo, like, all right. We're not cool with your man, but we're cool with you, okay? But look, right. We're not showing up to the party because your man's might be there. But in the future, we would love to check out the world-class charcuterie that I hear you be putting out.
Let's compartmentalize our feelings at the moment.
So it's like, you know, when you have a friend and you don't like their significant other, you know what I mean? You're like, look, me and you, we can still hang out. But when your man shows up, I gotta be out.
That's how it is. I tell D is my friend, and I tell her, man, I'm not a huge fan of your significant other. I tell her all the time.
Yeah, look, just because I do a show with him, don't mean I really like mess with him like that. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, obviously, look, the last couple of days have been insane. We you know, it's just like from a political standpoint, from a global standpoint. Like, you know, it's difficult to figure out how to feel. I mean, there's bigger issues than soccer. But, you know, for soccer fans, is there bigger issues than soccer? You know, that sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
I mean, yeah. We were worried about whether we were going to qualify for the World Cup. There might not be a world.
So, I think the U.S. is going to qualify for World War III. I think they got that down back.
Yeah. Can Trinidad and Tobago help stop this?
Please. Yes, that'd be
quick. Make Bruce Arena a general.
General Arena, what do we got to do? Please save us from this mess.
He's like, the most important thing we could do is put a little bit of mayo on the top bun and then let the shredded lettuce. Are like, are you talking about a sandwich right now? Brooklyn Bruce.
Interesting strategy. It's all just disappointing and obviously depressing, scary. For the sake of for, you know, the region, for us, you hope there isn't a war over this. It's like, it's just absolute insanity. That's the positive note of this political show that you can take away. So I hope you appreciate it, everybody. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors. Also, the channel we're on, Fubo.
Fubo TV. You know, there's a lot of people who hit us up, and they're like, hey, how do I watch your show? And then I want to watch a bunch of soccer. What are my good options for that? And Fubo TV is one of your best. If you want to watch literally pretty much any soccer game happening on almost any relevant place in the world, you need to use Fubo TV. And you can get...
It's absolutely incredible. As a soccer fan, we've had it for a long time because we're big fans of soccer. And Fubo TV is absolutely seamless. But you can also get local channels on it. You can get your local news. It's almost like having a cable subscriber wherever you bring your phone or your Roku or really any other device that gets it. And we're going to give our fans a chance to get it for a nice discount.
Exactly. So all you got to do is go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans and you will get $30 off if you join. There's no reason to not try it. So go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans and the Fubo app is great. Whether you watch it on your TV, on your phone, it's incredibly fast. You don't even really need to be on Wi-Fi to get a good connection and a good stream. It looks great. And Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League, it doesn't matter what it is. You can watch them wherever you are. So, again, FuboTV.com/Cooligans and try out Fubo TV today.
CNN!
Why? You're screaming. I actually didn't understand what you screamed. What did you just say, Alexis?
I said, see, Nene. That's, yeah, baby, in Spanish, because I'm in L.A., baby.
See, Nene? I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch. Baby, maybe?
I didn't want to say baby, so I said Nene. Yeah, maybe it's just a Cuban thing, but we say Nene.
Yeah, because, but you wouldn't call a girl Nene, right?
No. Wait, so that assumes this entire time I've been yelling at a baby. I've been saying, yeah, comma, you baby.
Yes, that is the proper way to say it. Exactly. Hello, well, everyone.
I just didn't want to see baby. You know, it was dumb. So what's up, everybody?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Hello, my name is Christian Polanco. That is?
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Okay, Alexis is in, he's still in Los Angeles. He's doing comedy there. He's doing a couple soccer podcasts, and he's eating what?
A whole lot of eating.
A whole lot of eating. I mean, but that happens in regardless of what zip code Alexis is in. That's usually common. You know how Ludacris has hoes in every area code.
Alexis has. I got calories.
I had a better joke. I was gonna say you got ho hos in every area code, but you know,
negligible.
All right, look, with two different types of comedians, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway,
that's what makes the show great. Like you're a comedian and I'm a great comedian, you know what I mean? So when you put those two together,
you know, we make semi-magic. Hello everyone. Yes, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen. And it is not only that, Alexis, what else is it?
It just so happens to be the gulliest.
That's right. And this today's show is going to be...
Steve
Okay. It's going to be... This episode is going to require subtitles. So get ready. Everyone at Fubo, start typing them up.
It's going to be mad Spanglish.
So there's... yes, we have to talk about, a couple... matches that happened throughout the break, and we should start with the Liga MX final between Club America and Monterrey Rayados. And Rayados ended up winning this match winning the final in penalties. Interestingly enough, the Rayados and Rayadas have won. So in the Liga MX Femenil,
that's right. Rayadas won the Femenil. That's right.
Yeah, and the dudes won it as well. So you have
right, Liga MX dudes,
the dude league. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
we got that. I mean, it's a good branding. I think it's a lot of potential.
So it seems to work.
For Southern California. Oh, they'll love it. All right, the dude league. Yeah. But no, that is pretty cool for them to both teams to end up winning, because you would hope, like, in international soccer, you know, for the women's national team, for the bar to be for the men to be able to reach the same level that the women reach, but at least it's happening for these two teams, right? So so this was the game was great. The result was 2-1 in the second leg, but 3-3 aggregate, and then it ended up going to penalties. The game was just absolutely insane. And this is why we love Liga MX games.
Liga MX is like the littiest league.
Yeah.
It's just like, however crazy you think it can get, it goes even beyond that. The fans are going nuts. It's like a mid-season, but it's a championship. It's just the greatest.
Whether it's a missed opportunities, great chances that whiffed kicks and all, it was just insane. But the fact that Rayados were able to just come back, and because they look like in the first half that they were gonna get like pretty much slaughtered, and they ended up surviving and then winning in penalties. But the interesting thing, there was a
Club America is very clearly a better club, at least the way his style of play, maybe it's the management, whatever it is,
a lot of history.
Yeah, but you got to be able to win the game, and that's something that, you know, Rayados was able to do.
The second half, they came through. But the interesting thing was their new manager, who came in mid-season, Turco Antonio Mohamed, right? He, after they won the final, there was a video of him just in tears.
Stayed like in the dugout.
Yeah.
He like stayed in the dugout and was crying, and like a bunch of the coaches came up to him to sort of congratulate him. And then he sort of got up and he did like a, like he pointed to the sky or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like clearly it was a very emotional thing. And this is, I don't know if you knew this beforehand, but I didn't know the backstory here.
I did not know the backstory, and shout out to one of our fans, Eric Gomez, who remember we hang out with him in Seattle. He was the one, he told me, he's like, this is why he was emotional. So the reason was because he played in Mexico when he was for Monterrey. So when he was younger, and then at one point during a World Cup in Germany. In 2006, he goes, he brings his family to Germany. I believe he was an assistant while he was out there. And he was in a car crash. And his son, who I believe was 9 or 10 years old at the time, his son was in the car with him. I guess they had fallen asleep in the car or something along those lines. And there was a car crash. They were rear-ended. And his son passed away. It was really unfortunate. But the reason why he was so emotional in that particular time was because his son was a huge Rayados fan. He used to be one of the mascots. So all his memories of his son were and Rayados were very intertwined. And he made a promise to his son that he would help Rayados win the league one day. And he made it happen. And that's why he was so emotional, because he was really doing it for his son. So it was a beautiful story.
This is part of like when we talk about like soccer is just more than the game that's being played on the pitch or the field for 90 minutes. This is a sign of that. I mean, what a beautiful sort of ending to a really horrific story. And hopefully this gives Turco just a little bit of closure and is able to sort of maybe close that chapter and put it to somewhat rest and just keep the positive memories of the time he got to spend with his son versus sort of fighting to make his memory, I don't know, valid is the right word, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sort of like now he can sort of like maybe have a little bit of calm.
Yeah. And I'm glad. I mean, it's definitely something I'm glad we got. It was pointed out to us because, you know, we're not watching Liga MX that regularly, so we don't really know a lot of these details. But thank you for Eric for pointing that out to us. And interesting and really cool story. So, yeah. And at least, you know, there was a bit of a happy ending. And like you said, a little bit of hopefully some closure. Just incredible. So, all right, we're going to be back with more right after this, guys. More news in Major League Soccer. This is the preseason starting soon. And you love all the offseason drama when it comes to where players are going to end up. And let's highlight a couple players that are leaving. First of all, Lucho Costa, who had that very public ordeal with DC United.
And he said goodbye to everybody.
He said goodbye to everybody, and then they were like, you got. Then he just shows back up into the locker room. So
he was like, you're cool, F you.
Yes. If you don't know about just Google Lucho Costa and PSG, and it'll all make sense if you don't know about that. But Lucho Costa does end up with Atlas, so he goes to Liga MX, and that this seems to be what's been going on at the moment, which is players either like a little league swap, you know, like wife swap, but with soccer leagues. Some players are leaving Liga MX to come play here. You know, like an example would be the Chivas striker, Alan Pulido, who left Chivas to go to Sporting Kansas City. And that was a huge, huge signing on their part. And then we have another one, which is LGP, Leandro González Pires, who ended up going to Cholos, leaving Atlanta United, which was probably a big surprise for a lot of people. But
There's not a name that a lot of people were saying were leaving, right? Like, the big issue was, like, is where's Julian Grasso going to go? And the whole time, LGP is just, like, very quietly packing his bags.
Yes, right? The frustrating thing with a lot of these transfers is that the MLS, the Players Association, the CBA, since that hasn't been agreed upon, there's a lot of players that don't know what their future is going to be, because that's not in place, because the teams don't know what their budgets are going to be or anything along those lines. So a lot of players are just kind of in limbo right now.
Yeah, I think it was Paul Tenorio put out a tweet saying, like, this person got re-signed and their contract would be above the targeted allocation money threshold. And people were like, "What do you? Why would you phrase it that way?" And he was like, "Well, target allocation might not exist." So, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff that's, like, in limbo.
Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah, this is a weird.
Wait a minute. MLS roster rules and cap rules are confusing.
No, but it's confusing, not just for because of, like, you know, the acronyms that are going to exist or not exist. It's because there's just, like, actual players who don't know what is going to happen, right? Like, we had Derek Etienne here, and he's probably one of those people that is like, hey, I'd like to sign for a team real soon, but they don't know what their money situation is going to be like. You know, we don't know. They don't know what exactly is going to happen, because there is that possibility that there still might be a strike, right? That's kind of the cloud hanging up over all of these, like, kind of negotiations and all of that kind of confusion.
Yeah, I mean, look, is a strike possible? I think the Players Association was so, like, I don't want to use the term belittle, but they were knocked back so much for not striking last time that it seems like everyone has their finger on the trigger for a potential strike. And I think the worst news so far is that there's been no news. Yeah. Like, I, you know, some people think that's a good thing. I think that's a bad thing. I think, like, positive news or even, like, people leaking stuff, you know, that lets me know, like, oh, okay, there's movement happening. Right now seems to be a standstill.
Yeah, but there's still a couple rumors, and I guess we have to, like, grade how legitimate they even or credible they feel. But the one that seemed pretty wild was Luka Modric, right? Luka of Real Madrid, rumored to have interest from DC United, right? DC United let go of Wayne Rooney, and just that's it. They can replace Wayne Rooney with a Ballon d'Or winner. You know how it is.
Yeah. That's just, you just move one piece over and the other one takes
place. Is DC United, I mean, like, the new... hotspot? I don't know. It seems like...
What is up?
What is going on in the district?
Yeah, man. Everybody wants a little mumbo sauce.
This is... So after the rumor about Luka Modric to DC United, it was... So it revealed... I don't know how... again, I don't know how credible it necessarily is, but that was the first team that they said that there was any possibility. But the other teams have come up. I believe Atlanta United as a possible destination for Luka, and I think Inter Miami. I think there was, like, another team kind of at play. But it is in general, it always seems weird with MLS, because it feels like they are almost like the league in it. The league office has influence on where the player goes, as opposed to, you know, that doesn't work that way with any other league. It's like the club kind of represents themselves. So it does seem like an odd thing that, like, it's basically like MLS trying to court him, and and be like, oh, look, this will be a good city. Like, and rents are really good here, or properties are really, you know. It's a,
yeah.
It just seems like an odd.
You want to become a potential investor here? Yeah. I think MLS is, like, the only league where, like, a player is like, all right, fine, I'll play in your country, but then later we'll decide where. Like, it's a very odd. It doesn't happen. Like, we hear, you know, Christian Pulisic is coming to England. We'll find out where at the 7 o'clock hour. Ooh. But it doesn't happen. Yeah,
yeah, it's the yeah. Leading story on Talk Soup.
yeah, it's very odd how that works.
So, look, who wouldn't want Luka Modric playing here? He's, I believe he's 33 or 34 years old.
34, but, yeah.
Yeah, he's still, for the type of position he plays, he's similar to kind of Rooney. He's a midfielder, not really expected to be a box-to-box guy, just kind of be like a little bit better than, like, more aggressive than Pirlo. Is that maybe a safe way to describe Luka Modric?
I've seen corpses more aggressive than Pirlo. I think Luka, for a long period of time, was the best player in the world at his position. So,
okay,
probably a good pickup if you're DC,
nice.
Or Inter, or whoever.
Yeah, I'm sure Screaming Eagles would love that. Let's do this. Let's get into some Major League Soccer collective bargaining agreement talk.
Are we about to solve the CBA right here?
Let's figure it out for everybody to understand. So again, we mentioned it briefly, but yes, the next few weeks, you may see more news about the Players Union and the league figuring out what the future of the league will look like when it comes to that relationship between the league and its players. And there's a couple more details. Like basically, the Players Union has kind of drawn their line in the sand and said what they want, what are the as they say, tier one most important issues that they're kind of looking to chase. And let's kind of start. If you, people should look this up, actually, because it is pretty interesting. So if you go to mlsplayers.org/progress, you can kind of see the status and what they're asking for. And, you know, you can kind of form your own opinion. Do you think these players are being divas, asking for too much, you know, when they're making $45,000 a year, you know?
Ooh, big spender.
Okay. You know, that's the problem with these millennials nowadays. They want enough money to eat and survive.
Right. They don't understand the value of a dollar, which is how much you make per game in MLS.
Oh, well, they'll learn. You mean these... $300 million as an expansion fee? That ain't your money, all right? You didn't earn that money.
They're like, all right, the MLS is like, yo, we'll give you chartered flights, but you got to sell, like, Girl Scout cookies, and whoever gets the most sales gets the chartered flight.
Okay.
Are we cool with that? Is everyone cool with that?
It feels like a good deal for all parties involved.
Can I hear a yay or an
no? I'm hungry does not count. That is not one of the...
No, you can't have some more.
So we should point this. There's a couple. The website is great and kind of points out the important things for the Players Union. And you can hear there's been a couple quotes of what some of the players have been saying. There was a recent interview it was a meeting, or it's not an interview, but this was with Eric Miller, who is one of the representatives in the Players Union. He recently played for NYCFC. He was formerly a member. He was on our show. He also played for Minnesota United for a while as well. And I'm reading this. This is Mickey Turner, who is a writer for, I believe he writes for The Athletic. I could be wrong about it. I think he does. But
he does write for The Athletic and Sounder at Heart.
That's right. So, and we met him in Seattle. Great dude. So he kind of has a thread of a lot of the quotes from the meeting. And one of them, a couple of them were travel and charter, charter flights for MLS players. Currently, MLS teams only, I believe it's four trips, four flights that are allowed to
that's
be.
That's all you're allowed to charter, but that's important because some teams are like, let me charter more, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a hot issue for MLS because it's quoted in the Mickey Turner's tweet here that it's generally about $20 million for all the clubs to have full charter per year.
I mean, it's a lot of money, but when you hear like,
but it also doesn't sound like a lot because it's the league. Like, yo, shake the couch cushion, dog.
There seems to be a lot of money coming in, and you know, different avenues.
Yeah.
Maybe make it work. I don't know. So, but it, that is an issue. But and then the other one is that players seem to not want GAM and TAM and these like financial kind of these financial structures to build rosters.
To quote Eric Miller, he said, getting rid of it will improve transparency and other players should be able to compete for the money. He also says fans and media don't particularly like it, which is true. We use it as a joke. I mean, you know, TAM and GAM is a sort of a running gag for us, so it makes it easy for us to joke because
exactly.
It's such a
TAM,
sort
GAM,
of a frustrating...
Thank you, ma'am. We got jokes all day.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy, we got bids. Not that one. That was... Just wordplay. But for the most part, we've got Joe.
So I think from a fan and media perspective, I think we don't necessarily understand it completely, but we see that the rosters are getting better. So to us, we're just like, all right, we don't care how you make it work, but I'm seeing players,
yeah.
You know, that the quality is being raised. So it seems like we're
right,
cool
for
with
us,
it.
It's like pick your own cockamamie acronym. We don't care. Mm-hmm. Just get better players in here.
Call it the cockamamie rule. What do I care? Have fun. Just
cockamamie allocation money. Get some CAM.
Okay. I just want to see guys that are good at soccer kicking the ball around. Is that too much to ask? I don't. Yeah.
It doesn't seem difficult.
But
I hope they can charter a flight to and from the game that I get to enjoy.
But at least you see. That the, you know, when you hear players really make that point, like, oh, we just want to be able to have an opportunity get some of that money that is being kind of unfairly distributed to the top level of the roster. And I think that's kind of what the next CBA will be about, to take care of the player that makes a little bit of money. Because we saw what Wayne Rooney was saying when he was playing here. He was just like, these guys are doing the same amount of work that I'm doing, and they are being paid a grossly insufficient amount. So you hope that,
yeah.
And we'll see where it goes. Obviously, the league doesn't want to give them the money, and the players really want it, and so we'll see what ends
They'll
up happening.
They'll come up with fair allocation money, and we'll say, nah, fam.
We can't. I don't know what to tell you right now.
All right. Nah, fam.
More to discuss, and especially there's been a couple over the weekend in England, whether it's a Premier League game, championship, doesn't matter. There's been a lot of issues with VAR. Right, and we've experienced.
If VAR had a statue in England, it would be treated worse than the Zlatan Ibrahimovic statue was treated at.
That's
Mama.
Right. Let's not build the statue. They haven't earned it just yet. But specifically, there's been more debate about VAR, right? You know, England was basically the last league. The Premier League was the last league to implement it, and then when they did, they were like, you know what, we'll do it our way, and it is not.
Yeah, they're not even looking at the screen. They're just like,
hey,
there's no one there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, mate, want to go for a pint after this? He's
you know,
like,
you know what?
No goal.
God told me it was offside. I don't know.
Yeah. He's just like, he's listening to hip hop. He's like, all right, that's enough time. Yeah, it's no goal. I didn't like it.
No, the in particular, we know how as MLS fans, we know how it's been used here and how it's really been used everywhere else is when there's an issue,
which seems fine.
The VAR, you know, ref, he's like, hey, go take a look at this, and then the center referee takes a look at it. It's a pretty simple system. It's kind of worked pretty well. But no,
it works.
In England, they don't want to. They I guess they feel that the time it takes to have the referee go to the screen is too distracting or takes too much time. And what's happening is the complete opposite, where the center referee is not looking at anything, just trusting the headquarters, the Premier League headquarters or whatever, and basing the decision off of that. And this takes more time than necessary. And the bigger issue now is because the offside system they use, like, they have a lasers or rule, they have lines
like NASA.
It's Premier League, you're doing too much. That's the best thing we can say to you. You're doing too much. And
in some cases, you're doing nothing. In other cases, you're doing not enough.
So
in this case, you're doing too much. And all of that is within VAR.
Yeah. And the main reason there's been a kerfuffle and a lot of complaints is because the offside, the VAR offside is taking away goals that are centimeters of a difference. Whether you can't even really tell if it's onside or offside. I mean, when you get to this point where it's that minuscule and it doesn't really matter. Like if they scored, then good on them. It can't be, you know, a hair of an armpit. You know, was like that's too much. Now the game is not even fun anymore.
If your elbow is less than an inch over, bruh, you're good. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? I get the whole human eye element, right? And offside is a ridiculously difficult rule to sort of try to, you know, monitor, right? But this is too much. You know, once you bring in, like, the Fox Sports type, you know, like, it's too much. There's beams and stuff, a lot of lights. There's dotted lines.
A lot of leagues, they tried. Like, remember when the NHL on Fox had the track?
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, we saw it, and we were like, you know what? This ain't working for us. This is making the game more distracting and not fun. So this is just another one of these things, but it's affecting the entertainment value of the game because the game is now stopped for a long amount of time. Like the offside rule should just be like, yo, what happened to the offensive player has the advantage? Like, well, you just. Leave them there's a saying. What's the saying? I forgot the exact saying about like the player on offense has like the more of the advantage or like or the benefit of the doubt to some degree. That's how it should be. We should just keep moving on with the game. I mean, if something is absolutely egregious and is visible with the naked eye, fine. You understand calling the goal back. But this is insane.
There's also something to be said for, like, the guys on Twitter who do these things on their own, like those dotted line things on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, later on, there's, like, conversation, like, that goal shouldn't have counted. My team never actually lost that. Like, there's some passion involved in that. You know, and during the game, everyone's just kind of standing there waiting for some nerdy mathematician to figure it out on a supercomputer. Too much.
that's the synopsis. It's too much. All right. We'll be back with much more and DJ Devaney after this. All right, welcome back. And now we are joined by our guest, and I'm excited to introduce our next guest because this is the first time we're gonna do anything really interactive and a little bit more. We're gonna get a little physical on today's show. So
that's only because the many times that I've asked, they will not order pizza to the studio during the show. So,
which is a real shame. But no, we are excited to welcome our next guest in studio with us, DJ Devaney. Everybody.
Yeah, Devaney. That's right.
Devaney. Oh, my God. You got it. I tried. I was like, I was
also,
so confident.
Put your hands together unless you're driving. For DJ Devaney, everybody. Oh, wait, it's this way. There he is right there.
We're still figuring out how to do a television show. DJ Devaney, how's it going, man?
It's going well, man. Thank you for having me.
We've seen you around in the soccer.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Look at me also, DJ, okay? It's not just Christian.
Don't worry about him.
I was going to dap you guys up and like give like a fist bump to the TV.
Yeah.
You can do that.
No.
Hey.
We met you, I think, formally for the first time, which was in Miami at the Neymar Fives.
Right. Yeah.
And you were someone who I saw on, like,
if I remember correctly, I think we were standing there kind of waiting to start. DJ was asking us for our autograph, and I was like, come on, leave us alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I still didn't get it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that restraining order has expired.
Well, that's how I'm here, you know? The security asked about it, but then.
But no, we met you there. I believe we even played in a game. We played in a game together. We were on the same team,
The creators game or whatever.
That's right. Yeah, we're all creators. We all, you create, probably with a little bit more talent, but we do all create. We're all in that window.
Umbrella. At the end of the day, we're all in the same category.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yes, we met at the Name Our Fries, and we saw and you are a person who attends a lot of events, and you're basically you're the guy. They're like, hey, he does tricks. Mm-hmm. Bring him to events. But you obviously you have you're more of a you have more depth than just a guy who just does a bunch of tricks, and that's why I have a lot of questions about that. But I remember when that was when we first met. But you had told me a little bit about your past, and maybe you'll get into it organically. Mm-hmm. But how do you become a soccer freestyler?
For me, it was just like as a young age, like getting into juggling a soccer ball and practicing keep ups and just becoming kind of addicted to that. And then kind of seeing a few tricks here and there from players. And then YouTube came out, and then, there are people creating these like freestyle moves. And it was just kind of thing where it was like, I need to do that. And that was kind of it.
And it's odd to me that you feel like you needed to do it, because you are, and you mentioned this before, you were in school for astrophysics. Mm-hmm. And when you said that, I'm like, hey, bro, you don't look like an astrophysicist.
You don't need to lie to us. Okay.
Okay, I don't know what you're, this isn't a first date, right? DJ. I don't know who you're trying to impress.
Yeah. Well, Christian and I met at brain surgery school, which I believe is what it's called. So, look at us, the geniuses here.
So, how does one go? How does they seem like such polar interests? Yeah, how does was an astrophysics thing? I said anyway. How does one make that leap into soccer?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I started college in architecture.
Okay.
So plot twist, but I ended up just like hating that, and I was kind of.
You're like, this isn't enough work.
Right.
How can I get a much more special study?
You just got to make it harder. You got to upgrade.
Yeah.
Level 10. But yeah, so I had a great physics teacher in high school, and I'd always loved like thinking and studying space, science fiction movies, stuff like that. So they had a great program at NJIT, and I actually almost switched schools. I almost went to TCNJ. Because I like acronyms, and then
which is the College of New Jersey,
correct? Yeah. And because I wanted to play soccer, and actually when I went to NJIT, I wasn't recruited, so I had planned on walking on, and I realized when I got there that's not how it works.
Yeah, because there's like, who's this nerd trying to play soccer? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
your glasses kept breaking. You kept your Gatorade and beakers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what an astrophysicist.
They weren't about it. I don't know why. But yeah, so I ended up trying again in the spring and got onto the team. So I decided to stay at NJIT and switch my major to physics. And just really enjoyed studying it, but didn't like love it the way I love soccer.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping in school that I would like kind of latch on to research and to astronomy and things like that in a way that I would have a career in it. But as I got towards the end and kind of like trying to find work, it just kind of wasn't lining up. And it also just didn't feel ultimately right. And so after school, or actually my last semester of school, I was on the New York Rebel street team.
Okay.
So they have like the Harlem Globetrotters, but soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how I always explain what I do to people who don't know what freestyle is. And, yeah. And so I started doing that, and once I realized I wasn't getting any like work, I was just like, well, I'm just going to juggle a soccer ball until I can make something happen, and here we are.
Okay, so I'm actually just curious about your what was the, cuz you had mentioned like just trying to find work. What was like the if astrophysics worked out, yeah, what was like the thing, the dream job or the dream like research that you would have wanted to work on?
It probably would have required getting a PhD,
yeah,
in further studies, and maybe even cosmology, like deep space.
Makeup.
Like,
oh, that. No, sorry.
Yeah. Cosmetology. Yeah, yeah. It's close.
No, just had a Concord. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny. Sometimes people think I say I have a degree in astrology. Yeah. Not astronomy, and they're sure. Like, what's my sign? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, we're here with Walter Mercado.
he's got an envelope for his forehead. When someone asks you about, like, or be like, oh my God, you know the stars, I'm a Libra. Like, do you just be like, none of this is real? Dude, you're looking at lights from beings that died millions of years ago. You know what I mean?
That's how my girlfriend and I started dating. You know, it's like, that was the conversation.
You're like, you believe in garbage. Now, let me show you what I can do with this dinner roll.
All right. Flexing on her.
So like, I don't know. I'm in. You know.
No, it's great, man. Well, I mean, we've seen you. If you don't follow DJ on Instagram, I mean, he's unbelievable. You've done some. Not only have you done some like incredible tricks, you've traveled all over the world. Look, I mean, and people kind of associate like, oh, if you play a sport, that will kind of give you all these opportunities. But you just juggle a ball. You're not even playing against another person.
Yeah.
And you are like one of these people that I get mad at. I'll be honest. I get mad at your Instagram page sometimes because you go to the, you're like in Thailand and these gorgeous locales. And I'm like, it feels like you don't have a job, but you're working.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's interesting. And
also, you're one of the hardest working people we've met.
That's what people don't see.
At the same time, we're like, what does he do? Yeah. Why is he in Qatar right now on the roof of a tall building? And I love when you get sponsored content because it's like you do a backflip, and in that backflip, you kick a ball through like a hoop, and then all of a sudden, you're like, duh. And I'm like, what? What does this have to do with head and shoulders?
No, but it's so true. Like people, you know, a lot of my audience also ask me like, what team do you play for? Or why don't you play for a team or this and that? I'm like, look, like I just do skills and people like watching me do skills and now people pay me to do it. So why not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, and when did you start in particular with freestyling and focusing on the tricks and improving that skill?
I would say, you know, I just further got into it. I was in high school, just like learning the skills and kind of building almost like an archive of different tricks and combining them together and start introducing music and rhythm and things like that. And then in college, once I started with the New York Red Bulls, that was when I started making money doing it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of just a huge game changer because I realized, oh, there might be a real market or a space for this that I can find an opportunity in.
And how long do you think, how long can you go as a freestyler? Like, when is it, is there a tipping point where it's like, now I get sad seeing this old man kick a ball?
It's interesting, you know, I think there's a few ways to think about it, but the way I like to think about it is you can always like reposition yourself and change the conversation.
Sure.
So, I mean, like right here and now, like I'm on this TV spot, you know, and it's like, this can be something different where I'm still integrated into soccer, but not having to rely on tricks and athleticism.
Okay.
So you can always change.
You ain't taking our job, DJ.
But
get out of here.
Because there is that real commitment to the craft, right? I mean, we're stand-up comics, right?
Exactly.
And now it's like we always have to work on it. We're always doing shows. And there is that struggle that a lot of people do not see. Yeah. But I'll ask you this question about like the what. Do you feel like there is a bit of a pressure to always put out the positives on social media because sometimes people don't want to, you know, maybe the struggle maybe doesn't get as many views.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's kind of the same thing going back to what I just said. I think a lot of people put that facade. It's like the status quo of what you do because it looks good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've posted one of my best videos is a video of me not making a shot. It's a 5-minute video of me just missing 100 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has 2 million views or something.
Yeah. And so, but the rest are also of your abs and they look great.
Yeah. Who sponsored that video where you didn't get anything? You know, was it a condom company? It's like, look, sometimes it's best not to hit your mark.
Okay, look, can we manage DJ? I think we can position him.
I'm here, the phone's ringing.
All right, we're actually going to be back with DJ doing some tricks in studio. Back after this. Okay, welcome back to the Cooligans. We are here with DJ Divini, and we're gonna do some tricks in studio. This is the first time.
Congrats, you got the name right.
Thank you. I try my best. But this is the first time we're doing anything like this in the studio, so we don't know exactly what to expect, but we do know that DJ is going to bring the heat.
We also know that the production staff is very scared.
Yeah, there's a lot. Just, you can't see it because everyone's behind the camera, but everyone here is absolutely terrified. They literally.
A lot of the cameras might have a slight shake to them.
Let's get started. We'll talk to you as you go through it. But if there's any trick that is that is appealing or interesting or like or scary, go. That's the one you start with. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So, yeah, freestyle is just kind of like the art of controlling and doing tricks with the ball, combining them together.
What is the crowd pleaser? Like, is there something that when you
crowd pleaser is right here. So you guys are going to clap when I clap, right?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Well, he can't. Delayed, so Christian, you do it.
Two claps.
Okay.
Two claps. Three claps. I didn't clap.
Okay.
They only clap when I clap.
All right, I'll go down. I'll be honest, I'm not pleased right now.
So now you just clap when I clap.
Okay. Okay. All right. No, this isn't crap. This is just exercise.
Two claps.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. No.
But that people usually like that.
If you're just listening to this, he's doing a push-up, clapping in front and then behind his back and still catching him. If I tried that, I would have broken my face.
Is there any tricks like when you I'm sure when you do this and maybe in front of kids and kids want to be like how do I get started? What can I do? Is there anything I can start with and learn that make me feel like a freestyler?
You're gonna learn the next law, which you've probably done before.
Okay, I have. Yes, I've seen it,
and so you've probably done it here. But we'll just learn from placing it on your neck.
Sure.
And that way you can
just... Because I've never landed it from my foot to my neck. That has not happened.
Well, that's on the next
one. Yeah,
episode.
Yeah. I've taken...
He's actually been able to hit a kid's neck in front of him, which is very impressive.
I've been able to super glue a ball and put it onto my neck, and that's worked perfectly.
So if you want to do it together, we'll just start by touching our toes.
Okay, all right. Glad Alexis is not here. A little
tough. And then you're just going to look up, chin goes up.
Okay.
And your elbows go back as far as they can.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to place the ball for you.
All right, look at this.
And you're done. So now I want you to try to spin around without dropping it.
Okay.
Can we just CGI edit this so it looks like Christian was able to do this?
I feel like I can also like twerk.
Yeah. Bounce it, you know?
So I don't know if that's on camera, but feel free. I don't know what rating this show now has.
Yeah. So see if you can see if you can go down into the push-up.
Oh, into the push-up. All right. Can I do a push-up? All right. Oh, okay.
Try to keep the shoulder blades back.
Okay.
Up. All right. There you go. One knee.
One. There it is. Okay. Okay.
Nice and slow.
Why do you look like a grandpa doing this?
Because I'm terrified. Because this is being broadcast. There you go. Okay. There it is. There it is.
Hey. I have never been happier to not be in the studio.
That was good. Not be doing under pressure for.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was sick though.
Okay. I wanted to ask because this was one of the questions from our Gully Squad members, Jess Hewen. She asked, you have a background in physics, do you ever think about physics whenever you create tricks or anything like that?
Never.
Okay.
That's the short answer.
Yeah. Is there anyone, a player or other freestyler that kind of inspirational or kind of push you to try to be better?
Yeah, I've always like looked up to Andrew Henderson, who's like a 5-time world champ, and he actually just switched to mixed martial arts. So he's just an incredible athlete.
Okay.
And that's why I feel like I really kind of relate to him in that sense as like an overall athlete and just someone who's just wants
freestyler
to be successful.
Freestyler to MMA fighter is about as grand a switch as astrophysics.
That's what I mean. That's where it connects.
That's okay. It's impressive. Is there any trick that you are particularly known for?
Yeah. So I would say I won't do it in here because there's not enough space. But this one is probably a big crowd pleaser as well. If you want to take a slight step back.
Okay. Yeah.
So I usually do this to maybe end a show or like take a break in the show for.
No one's gonna wheel mic me back a little bit at all.
So I usually like do something that builds up to this, and then like I kind of like get the crowd like worked up.
Yeah.
And then we go.
got it. Okay.
Into, like, yeah, and a little magic mic action. You know, sometimes I hold it.
I'm gonna say, wait, I know you're in a relationship, but prior to that, does someone watching you do these tricks have a higher expectation for you in the bedroom now? Because they're like, if we can do that, you know,
it's not untrue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope you can keep me up in my libido.
Okay, yeah, this is good because we don't really get to talk about freestylers' sex lives enough, and I'm glad we got to merge those things.
But I want to know. I just want to show you guys something. Look, there's a weight.
Look!
Okay, but watch, look. I'm going to juggle her on my head. Hold on. No, okay.
We got the dog on camera. Wow, the freestylers.
She was asleep.
Okay, look at that. He didn't even let her wake up. So clearly there was not consent to put that dog on television. Alexis, typical.
Thank God I didn't wear that Michael Vick jersey.
Wow. Okay, DJ, thank you so much for joining us, man. You're incredible. Thank you for bestowing us with your presence and this incredible skill. We're going to end the show the way we normally do, but we have to do, you know, some of the housekeeping, right? Where we normally say that, right? Follow Soccer Cooligans.
Yeah, no.
Housekeeping? I don't know how to say it. Follow at Soccer Cooligans. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports. Follow the YouTube channel. You can see leave a review on iTunes. And you can see stuff like this. This is unbelievable. My name is Christian Polanco. So this, for DJ Divinity, this is Alexis Guerreros. DJ Divinity. And together, what are we, Alexis?
The Cooligans!